Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Changing Tides podcast. In each episode, we invite guests to have honest conversations about their mental health journeys with the goal of destigmatizing mental health within the Asian American Pacific Islander community. Due to the nature of the podcast, we'll be discussing a variety of mental health topics and possibly triggering experiences. While we and the majority of our guests are not trained professionals, we encourage you to practice self-care while listening and seek professional guidance if you or a loved one is in need of support. With that said, let's start the episode.
Hi, my name is Lauren, and I would describe my mental health journey as a work in progress.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Changing Tides podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Yonemura. Thank you for tuning in to another episode. I apologize to the listeners. I have been like kind of recovering from being sick for like a week now. So I just haven't been fully healthy, I feel like, for a week. I feel fine, but my voice just has not come back. And yeah, I apologize for the listener, but I wanted to record anyway because I've been wanting to have this guest on for a really long time. You can kind of see their shoulder in the frame, which is fun. But that is because, this episode is with my girlfriend. She has been my girlfriend for 2.5 years now, or almost 2.5 years, but we've known each other since the seventh grade. So just to give that context, we talk about it a little bit in the interview as well, but, we don't go super far into like our relationship because this is a mental health podcast and not like a tell-all. So that's also why we weren't like, I don't know. I was trying to keep it semi-professional in this interview, or like semi-normal for the program. So we were able to have this guest in studio, as you could say, I guess. And yeah, it was fun to kind of hear it from her. And I'm really proud of her for like telling her story because I don't want to spoil too much of the interview, but I'm really proud of her for telling her story and for being so involved in mental health and her own mental health journey. So with that said, I'm going to let her tell more about her story herself. And here's the interview I had with Lauren Alejo. Thank you for joining me on the podcast, Lauren.
Thank you for
anyone who doesn't know, Lauren is my girlfriend. She's also on the Changing Tides crew. She is one of the latest additions to the crew, but she joined around the time Lynn and Alan both did. But Lauren has wanted to wait until, we'll talk about it in a little bit, but she wanted to wait before being on the podcast. So yeah, that's a little bit about Lauren, but I'll let you tell more about yourself later. But I want to start with why you called it a work in progress.
I know a lot of people have said that on the podcast, but I felt like that was the best way to describe my mental health journey, just because I think I'm still in the pretty early stages of actually taking it kind of seriously. I feel like I've been very aware of my own struggles with mental health and just taking care of myself, but I haven't necessarily taken the steps to do so until like very recently. So definitely a work in progress.
When would you say your mental health journey began?
I feel like it kind of like started in two stages. So I would say like the first stage was like my introduction to mental health as a whole. So which would have been in high school when you were diagnosed with depression. You were the first person I knew that was open about mental health and was doing something about it. So that was like very new for me and a lot of people that we were friends with. So it was my first time not only seeing somebody else go through that, but also it made me take a step back and think about it, like how it affects me. But the first time that I really felt like, oh, mental health is something that actually affects me, was probably when I moved home from my freshman year of college. So for context, I moved home from Washington State University after a year there, just for financial reasons. And that transition was really hard because I had gotten used to independence and I had a really amazing first year, like academically. I made a lot of great friends and I got my first job, my first graphic design job there, and I really enjoyed it. So it was just a really tough transition for me. And it was also the first time that I was alone a lot, because, you know, when you're in high school, and even if you're at a four-year, you're with people constantly. But going to community college and living at home, that was the first time that I was really, like, I didn't have a core group originally when I first moved home. And that was the first time I really felt like I kind of struggled with anxiety.
And just a little more context. So Lauren was there with me throughout my start of my mental health journey, because we've known each other since the seventh grade, and we've been best friends since then as well. Mm-hmm. So if anyone hasn't listened to my episode on the podcast or doesn't remember, my senior year of high school is when I was officially diagnosed with depression. And I was pretty vocal about it at the time. And then Lauren being my best friend, I always leaned on her a lot. So, yeah, a little added context to...
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Should have put that...
No, it's okay. It makes sense. Yeah. And then when you... And then just to... I mean, I know your story, yeah. So it makes it silly. But when you say you didn't have a core group when you moved back, it's not because you didn't have friends. It's because everyone you were close with moved away, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so everybody... from high school, essentially, they moved to their own places. But I did eventually, you know, create, like, my own, not create, but, like, find friends, which definitely helped me through that time.
So one of the ways in which, like, I first got you involved with Changing Tides, because mm-hmm. Lauren joined the crew, what, 2022, officially?
Yeah, so at the end, I think, of 2022.
Right, right.
No, end of 2021.
Okay.
Yeah.
You first started volunteering end of 2021, but I think you joined the crew 2022.
So early 2022. Yeah, when we were discussing. Okay.
Yeah. So when I first got you involved, you weren't on the crew yet, mm-hmm. but I just really wanted your help through graphic design, because we could have gone to other, like, services or like vendors, but when I told you what I could use help with, it was like really easy for you. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to for you in graphic design, where did you first find a passion for it?
I think I first discovered my passion for design, and honestly like creativity in general, was when we were in yearbook. So Matthew and I were in yearbook together in high school, and
for sophomore through
Sophomore through senior year, we were editors in chief together with our friend Elisa. But I feel like throughout all of like K through 12, there wasn't really a push for arts. And if you like, unless you were interested, you would find it. So that was the first place that I really like got to explore my artistic side, or my creative side at least. I don't really feel like I'm super artistic, but I am very creative. And I took really quickly to page layout design, and that's, you know, an element of graphic design, and I just really loved it, and I felt like I could spend so much time on every spread, and it was something that I really wanted to dedicate a lot of my time to. And I never had like anything I was super super like interested academically in high school. Like I knew how to play the game of school, so I did well, but I wasn't like super gung-ho about anything. So you know, yearbook was the one place that I felt like I could really explore that creative side of me, and I felt very happy there. So that's definitely what sparked that, my interest in design. Yeah.
So when you say like you didn't really have a creative outlet before, explore creativity, mm-hmm. did you ever have a sense of like having a creative outlet?
Yeah. Okay. Maybe not. I didn't have an outlet because I grew up dancing. So in that way, I did have an outlet, and like I also cheered in high school. So our senior year, we like choreographed a lot of the dances and stuff. But yeah, I definitely still, I always had a sense of like creativity, but I felt like, I think at the time I always tied creativity with being artistic, but they're not necessarily the same, I feel like. Cause like when someone's like really artistic, you know, they take well to fine arts really well, in my opinion. And that's just not something that has ever like I'm okay at it, but I wasn't super interested in it growing up. But I was always really interested in projects that were creative in other classes, and like in seventh grade when we had Miss Young, and so our seventh grade social studies teacher, she gave us the option for every chapter or every unit to either take a test or to do a project. Right. And everybody obviously chose the project, but like for me, that was just so fun. And it felt like I really got to explore that creative side of me. And it was more than just like getting out of taking a test. Mm-hmm. Like it felt like something that I really, really like enjoyed doing. So yeah, I've always just been like, anytime there's like a more hands-on project, that's something. And like from like elementary school through high school, I think that's something I always like took to and was really passionate about. And even like with like career days and stuff, like in second grade, we had to pick like a career, and I picked fashion design. And then through, as I got a little older, it turned into, I was obsessed with interior design. I was obsessed with HGTV. I made my own like house and like sourced everything online and like just put it in like a PowerPoint. And then through the, like, I think at later middle school or like through high school, it just felt like there was a pressure to do something more realistic. And I kind of just like abandoned that exciting, those exciting little interests of mine. So, yeah.
What did you when you decided like, oh, I have to take it more realistic or serious? Mm-hmm. What were you originally going to explore in like college?
I was originally going to do physical therapy. I don't know why. I was going to do like physical therapy or sports medicine. So that's kind of what I told myself all through high school. But I didn't really have a reason to like choose that. Yeah.
So what? Because you did graduate in graphic design. Mm-hmm. That's what you're working in now. Mm-hmm. But was it difficult for you to like not go the unrealistic route, because it's not unrealistic, you're doing it. Mm-hmm. But like in your mind in high school, like was it hard to decide I'm going to try to do art or graphic design?
It was definitely like not even a thought to do it. Oh. But I felt like once we started applying for schools, I realized like, oh, I don't want to do sports medicine. Like, that's not what I want to do. I don't see myself doing that at all. And I definitely want to do graphic design. So that was like a kind of a scary thing to like realize. So to like kind of cushion that fear, I applied to schools that had both. I applied to schools that had, because I didn't really know what I wanted at that time. So I was kind of like, I guess I'll just see if I can try both, or if I start with physical therapy and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is definitely something I don't want to do, then like I'll move on to graphic design. But in retrospect, I feel like that wasn't the best idea, because if both schools have them, it doesn't necessarily mean both programs are really great at those schools. But yeah, I did that to like kind of cushion the blow. But there wasn't like a fear to tell, or there was definitely like a fear to tell my parents, but they've always been like pretty supportive of the things I do. So I knew like even if there was pushback, they would kind of realize eventually that if I'm passionate about something, I'm going to work hard at it. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't really that scared. Like I think there was just like a general fear of like realizing you're not taking the conventional route, the safer route, I guess, even though I'm doing it, so I'm safe.
So when you did the first year at school at Washington State, did you even tell your parents what you're going to go and major in at the time?
Oh, I told them before I even left school for school.
Okay.
So when I committed to Washington State, they like offered people with like whatever GPA to go do a weekend there. And when you apply for this weekend, like you have to say what major you're going to be interested in. So I originally said physical therapy and sports medicine. And then I went with my mom. And once we checked in at like the programming or whatever, I was like, I actually don't want to do physical therapy. I told her, I was like, I'm going to switch to this program instead. And she was really shocked. And when we went to the program, she like pulled me aside and was like, are you sure this is what you want to do? And I was like, yeah. And because I wasn't gonna, like, back down, I was like, yeah, this is definitely what I want to do. And then she was like, okay, well then you have to prove it to us that this is going to be worth it. And hearing that from my mom was kind of like, damn, sorry, can I say, okay. She's always been so supportive of the things I do. So that kind of felt like a low, like it hurt a little bit to hear that from her. But, you know, obviously she quickly realized like that's something I'm very passionate about, so it's fine. But But yeah, I prepared them for it and they knew before I even left for college. Yeah.
So jumping forward a little bit, after the first year, and I kind of want to get to the second piece of like your mental health journey, beginning of the anxiety of moving, of like being back home and doing the community college route. Can you walk me through like, I mean, I think it's very understandable why I'd be anxious or would cause anxiety for someone, but like, why was it anxious for you in your personal experience?
I think it's because I have like, I won't say tiger parents, but stricter parents. And going to college for a year away from home in a different state, I experienced a lot of independence, and I knew I'd be fine on my own, but it just like solidified that I was like, I'm definitely fine on my own. And you're allowed to go out on your own at whatever times and all of that. Moving home, I knew that meant having to deal with like curfews again and, having to tell my parents where I am all the time and all of that. And it's not like a super easy conversation with them all the time. And sometimes it is a little bit more like, where are you going? Why are you out so late kind of thing. Which is fine. But I was also really worried about falling off. I think that's something I used to tell myself a lot at that time was, I'm so scared I'm going to go to community college and fall off. I'm going to lose like my ex excitement for design. I'm just going to be like washed up basically. And which is so sad because like I think there's just this terrible stigma around community college that you're not going to go anywhere if you go there, but which is so far from the truth. But that was kind of where my head was at the time, and I was also really terrified of being perceived by other people and kind of like, oh, she moved home, like what happened kind of thing. So it was a lot of that and a lot of like me being afraid of being alone, because I didn't have like my core friend group right when I moved home. So yeah.
What ended up, because I do think it's important for people to know, like, for one, we were lucky because where we grow up, we have El Camino
Right.
Community College, which is a really good school.
Yeah.
But I just think it's important to hear your perspective on community college. Like, what was your experience like before you transferred to your 4 year?
Oh my God, it was great. I loved Elko. I didn't really like make any like exciting friends or anything like that. I did definitely get closer to people that I went to high school with that I wasn't friends with in high school. So that was cool. But yeah, I just really loved their arts program. Surprisingly, something I think that happens a lot at community colleges is that the typically like teachers in the arts, there are practicing still, or they did something really cool in the past, and then they're like, I just want to retire and just be a professor at that's super low stakes. So they care, and I feel like they honestly care more than teachers in 4 years. Or maybe I just got lucky with the ones that I had, but I loved my professors and they really like pushed me so much. They were really old school, but I felt like it was good for me at that time, and I kind of needed that discipline at that time because I was the fear of like, falling off. So that was nice, in the moment. But yeah, I felt like I learned so much about design and I became so much more confident as a designer there. And yeah, and I felt like because I didn't really like create any like long-term friendships in those like arts classes, I was really focused on my work, and that was really nice. And they also do a really good job at like encouraging you to go to a 4 year, and like they're very, once if they see that you really care, that then they're gonna like push you. And I had one professor that she like set me aside at the beginning of my last semester there, and she was like, oh, you're applying to schools right now? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, okay, like we're gonna get you into XYZ schools. And she like really took time to make sure I did well, and she like really took time to look at my portfolios, and I didn't even have to really tell her, she just like did it because she saw that I cared. So yeah, it was a really great experience. And I like, honestly, if you don't know what you want to do, go to community college. It's so much cheaper, especially if you go, if you're, I don't know if all schools do that, but there's a lot of schools in the South Bay that like you don't even have to pay for Elko anymore. It's free. So, yeah, I would highly recommend it. And you also can take so many classes for so much cheaper. I wish I took advantage of that more while I was there. They have like everything. And Elko is like one of the only schools that has a like, I don't know, they have like woodworking. I think they have a, this could be wrong, but I think they have like the glass blowing there too. They have a lot of cool stuff. And I think like it's a, definitely look into your community college. And if you're already graduated, but you want to go just take fun classes, I would recommend going to a community college because it's definitely a fun time. And the professors are always really silly. Like all of them are just really silly people.
So, I had to fix my memory card. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's no problem.
I'm sorry, I feel like I sound uninterested in you, but my voice just isn't fully back.
It's okay.
Okay, good. So we left off with community college experience, and then I don't want to like make you talk too much about school, but like then you went to Long Beach State for how many years?
I was there for 3 years.
Yeah. And how did that go?
It was good. I mean, half of it was during the pandemic, so it was good as it could get. But I really enjoyed my time. So, for context, I went to Long Beach State. I transferred there. And when I got there, I applied for the graphic design program. And then I got in. And that program is 2 years long, so that added an extra year onto my time there. But when you get into the program, you end up in a cohort. And the cohorts are pretty small, around like 22 to 26 people ish. And it's really nice because you end up on this, you have to follow this track. So you end up taking classes with the same people for 2 years straight. And I'm very lucky that I got very close to my cohort and they're all really amazing people. So, you know, the design stuff was cool, but honestly, I think the friends I made and the connections I made professionally were the best part about it. And I mean, that's what they say if you're going to school for anything arts, like it's really about the connections you make. So, yeah.
One of Lauren's classmates helped her to make the shirt I'm wearing now. You designed it, but she printed it, right?
Yes. Thank you, Jen.
Yeah. So, yeah, Lauren definitely met really cool people in
Yes.
school. So, I think the arts will kind of come back, but I kind of want to get more directly into like the mental health part.
Yeah.
How did you first get involved with Changing Tides?
So my first introduction to Changing Tides was I knew you were a part of it. Excuse me. I knew you were a part of it. And during the pandemic, I went to a CT cafe, and it was after the shootings in Atlanta, the ones at the massage parlor. So obviously there was a lot of Asian hate going on at that time, and that kind of added on to it. And of course, during the pandemic, it was just super isolating. So I didn't know how to cope with things like that at the time. I didn't really have like a kind of a community of people to talk to about that. And luckily, you kind of let me know that that was, you guys were holding a CT cafe. So I decided to join on Zoom, and I was like really impressed with how many people were there. And it was really cool to see how many people cared about something that I cared about. But yeah, that was my first introduction, but I didn't really get fully immersed, I guess, in Changing Tides until 2021 when I went to the gala just as your partner. That was the first event that you kind of led on your own with, or not on your own, but you led
As an
as an
employee,
employee
yeah.
of LTSE. And yeah, and I loved it, and I just like got along with everyone really well, and it was. You know, it's like an easy thing to volunteer for when you care about it. So yeah, I originally started out as a volunteer, and then I was coerced, and I wasn't coerced, but I was heavily persuaded to join the team because everyone seemed like they really wanted me to be part of it. And I did want to be a part of it, of course. It just felt like a little silly to join something my boyfriend was the kind of like the head of. But I'm very happy that I ended up joining the crew because it's a lot of amazing people and it's for a good cause. And it's definitely pushed me to take my mental health more seriously. And I honestly, like, I know it's kind of selfish to say, but I feel like that's been the best part about it because it's actually made me want to hold myself to the standard that Changing Tides is trying to create.
And for the record, it wasn't like,
they weren't forcing me. They didn't like.
Well, I wasn't even going to go that far. It wasn't even nepotism like that because you're my partner.
Nepotism.
It was like the rest of them were really, like, I knew you'd be a good fit. Mm-hmm. But everyone else was like, Matthew, like, what about Lauren? And I was like, I mean, yeah, but I don't know how. I didn't want to propose it because you know, it's my girlfriend.
Yeah.
So it was really everyone else that was like.
Yeah.
It wasn't mainly me. It was everyone else really pushing me to.
I got texts from people, like, which is like very sweet that I'm glad that I made such a good first impression. Mm-hmm. Just like on just being myself. I was just trying to be a supportive partner and help out, but I'm glad that they wanted me to hang around longer.
Mm-hmm. So another element of your like involvement with Changing Tides was you actually utilize one of our resources, CT Stream. Mm-hmm. So can you talk about your experience using CT Stream?
Yeah. It was great. This is like your free ad. but I started CT Stream and during the summer because I just finished actually 2 weeks ago. And today was actually my second post CT Stream session with my therapist. But it was really great. And I wanted to start therapy last year, but it all just felt like a very big, big mountain and like a daunting process. So I put it off and like kind of subconsciously made like excuses to not find a therapist. And I wanted to do it on my own. I was going to use the Changing Tides directory already, but I wanted to do the rest of it on my own. And then I don't really know what happened, but I guess maybe when I graduated school, I finally realized like, okay, I can actually like take time to take this seriously. But I, at that point, which was like around May this year, I realized that I should just swallow my pride and do CT Stream. Because for a long time, I was kind of thinking that CT Stream, I should allow other people to use that resource. And if I don't, like, I don't want to take that resource from somebody else. But in reality, like, I am the demographic that is going to use that resource. And just because I'm part of the crew doesn't mean I'm not allowed to use it. So I decided it was honestly the best option for me because I'm going to do that. And I don't really know where to go from there. I might as well just do CT Stream because you do get the guidance with Marian Sanabe, which is fantastic. So yeah, I finally like swallowed my pride and I did the whole intake process. And I was very lucky that I ended up really liking my therapist. And now I'm seeing her once a week. At the same time, I was seeing her while I was doing CT Stream.
So you did all 10 sessions and you're still seeing them after now?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
What do you think you gained through therapy? Because you've never done therapy before, right?
Correct, yeah.
What tools do you think you've gained? Because I think for folks who have never tried therapy, you think it might be like, oh, it's my time once a week or once every other week to just kind of debrief and talk things out. Mm-hmm. But I think what I've learned through therapy is I've gained a lot of tools mm-hmm. through as well. Can you like think of anything that you've taken away in like your day-to-day that really helps you that you've gained through therapy?
Yeah, I mean, my therapist even calls it, like, when we talk about something, something I can practice, she's just like, well, now you can add that to your toolkit, which is really nice. But a lot of the things that I've learned have to do definitely with anxiety. So I think something that maybe this is typical for people with anxiety, but something my therapist caught on to quickly is that I'm very in my head about my anxiety and it's a lot of spiraling. Because I tell her like every session, like, oh, I was spiraling about this and that and that. So she tries to take it out of the head and like more outside. So a lot of it is like somatic. So I'm doing like EFT tapping, which seems a little silly when you do it at first, but it generally does help a lot. So you tap specific parts of your body that I believe there's nerves there. That, I don't know, you just feel really soothed after you tap those specific parts and you just continue to do that after a while. So that's something that helps, you know, if I'm really feeling like the world is spinning around me, it just like kind of brings me back to like, oh, this is my body. This is where I am. I'm present here, which is nice. But also kind of like things about where I can put my energy in the day to day and kind of realizing that I'm not always at 100% and kind of like understanding that sometimes you're at 30%, sometimes you're only at 50%, and that's okay. And you want to like distribute that energy in different ways. What else have I learned through therapy? I don't know. I've learned a lot about how to handle my anxiety and take it out from inside my head to like my body. And that helps a lot because it lets me like realize that I exist here. Something interesting that we talked about today was like making anxiety another thing, another being, and it's not just me. And that helped a lot. I think it like literally her talking about that definitely like soothed me, because I feel like a lot of people, they see anxiety as them. And it's like something that is just like inherently in them, and it's like forever going to be with them. But she helped me put it in a perspective of like anxiety is just something that exists. And sometimes it takes the driver's seat, but like I can take the driver's seat and it can just be another thing that's behind me in the back seat, and it's like existing. And, you know, kind of characterizing what, like even like to the extent of like if it was like a being. Which I thought was very helpful, because I think it's important for me to detach from my anxiety. So being able to like see it as something else that's not exactly me is really nice. But I think the thing that I really, really, really love that she taught me early on, and I kind of knew this already, but saying it out loud with her was really nice. We talked about values a lot. So something like I think I've struggled with a lot with my family is that I have particular values that don't necessarily align with theirs, and that's okay. But for me, I want to be able to explain those values to them and like explain it in a way that relates to them. So she's helped me a lot with that. And also just being able to, in general, like evaluate what my values are and where they kind of rank for me. And yeah.
So this is silly to interview you like this. Yeah. But what was interesting about what you were talking about with anxiety, because so as we said earlier, I was diagnosed with clinical depression. That's like what started my mental health journey. But I've been seeing a therapist primarily for anxiety as well. Like that's what I started seeing my therapist mainly to address. And a lot of what we've discussed with anxiety, like I just think it's really interesting to hear like how different approaches work for different clients. Because for me, like it's not about seeing it as a different being. For me, it's about what could the anxiety be trying to tell me.
That's something else we've also talked about. Yeah. But that's actually more recent.
Oh, really? That was like one of the first things that, or I guess that was like midway through like my session 5 or 6.
Okay. Yeah.
I was like, I wanted to like get rid of anxiety purely. Like I purely just wanted to get rid of it. But then my therapist was helping me to figure out like, it's not about necessarily getting rid of it. You could definitely like work on ways to not always be dealing with it in like a chronic way. But figuring out sometimes like what is your anxiety trying to tell you, and is it always necessarily a bad thing?
Yeah, that's exactly actually what her and I talked about today too. And I didn't quite understand that when she first explained it, so she kind of had to give examples. And it's something I'm still kind of like trying to understand, because like for me, anxiety is just bad, right? But she was also explaining how like it can be a coping mechanism. And her framing it that way, I started to think about, okay, like what are things that have happened in my life, like as a kid, you know, like what has traumatized me for me to like instantly be anxious, like in that sense, like how has it become kind of this cushion for me? So yeah, I know I had never thought about it that way. And I think when she kind of put in that, she framed it that way, I was really like, oh, I don't even understand what you're saying kind of thing. Yeah.
So that kind of sparks another question I ask sometimes on the podcast. Now that you're more aware of mental health and what anxiety can look like, it's not always, you know, what you might think it looks like, right?
Right.
Now that you have a better idea of anxiety, Can you think of prior to like when you told me your mental health journey started between like you learning about me, right? Can you think of like earlier times when you know you could think of like, oh, that was anxiety, I just didn't know it yet, or I didn't know that was the word for it?
I think around the time when I was talking about like when I moved home, I say that that's when my mental health journey started, but I definitely didn't know that was anxiety. So I actually, honestly, I think I did pretty good at coping with it, considering I didn't really know what was going on. But yeah, that was definitely, there was a lot of times when I was anxious around that time. And even like I think in high school, that just general like academic anxiety. Yeah, and but I really do think like it's been amplified as I've gotten older. But maybe it's amplified because I'm just more aware of it. So yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, like I learned like a lot of the reasons why like I had such a hard time sleeping as a kid. It wasn't just necessarily because I was energetic. A lot of it had to do with anxiety. And like I've learned that my mental health has been, or my anxiety especially more than depression, has been around for way longer than I realized. Because it wasn't always necessarily, I don't necessarily always feel the like the chest tightness, but I would feel like the way my brain couldn't quiet down. For example.
I totally like that resonates with me as well. Yeah,
Yeah.
I think like the chest thing is definitely.
And I've always said that.
And I've always, Matthew, and I've always said that.
100%. Anyway, I'm not editing that out.
That's
Okay.
fine.
So, sorry. I got sidetracked because it's so silly. So today, because I just asked you about like looking back, but like today, where are you at with the arts? You know, you got your degree and you know, that's going into the work world. And then mental health wise, so where are you at with those two things?
I think, okay, we'll start with like career and arts and everything. I mean, I have a job, which is cool, which is great. I'm freelancing for like quite a few people right now, but my main thing is with Uprisers right now, with Michelle Hanabusa, who was on the podcast very early on, actually. And that job is really awesome because I feel like not only am I designing, but I'm designing for a purpose a lot of the time, which is great. So I'm really privileged that that job, or yeah, that brand as a whole, their design, their aesthetic is very similar to my personal design aesthetic. So I feel like I'm designing for myself a lot of the time, which is really nice. And I don't think a lot of people get to do that. But like doing art on the side is something that I really like still want to do. And just, you know, exploring more creative endeavors on my own for fun, because I think that's important. And I think being creative every day can be exhausting, but when you can do it for yourself, it's more fun. Yeah, I'm hoping to do that a little bit more post grad. I just graduated in May, so I have some time, obviously. I have all the time in the world now. But yeah, I'm really lucky that I'm appreciating, I'm enjoying my creative pursuits now. But in terms of mental health, I think actually today was funny because then when I had my session, we kind of stopped like halfway through and we didn't really have anything to talk about because like I don't know what I want to talk about today. And not saying that I don't need therapy anymore, it's just like I've been doing well recently, I think. And I think I'm just like, even though my anxiety is still very present, I can work through it better now. And I think something I've talked about a lot in therapy is like childhood trauma and like my family and me and our relationship. And honestly, I can say like even though it's only been like 12 sessions, like I feel like my empathy towards my family has gotten so much better because I feel like it's been like a constant war, me and my parents. It's gotten a lot better recently, and I which is nice. And it's really like refreshing. And like I want to be around them, which is like crazy. I think mental health wise I'm doing pretty well, and I like, and even things from like back in 2018 when I had first Like, that's when everything, my mental health journey started. Like, I would journal a lot at that time. And that's something that I kind of stopped doing once the pandemic started, because I was just so in my head. I stopped. I was like, I don't even want to touch a journal. But now, like, I'm incorporating that more into kind of dealing with my anxiety, or even just like if I have thoughts, then to journal. And it's nice to like kind of come back to that, because it feels like a full circle moment a bit. But also, it's just such an easy way for me to like release like internal tension. So yeah, I think I'm doing okay right now, and I'm happy with like how post-grad is going, luckily. I that's a privilege. I know that's like a massive privilege, because I know post-grad is a really tough time for a lot of people, and it's definitely been a confusing thing for me to navigate, and I'm like still trying to figure it out a bit, because like my brain has been in kind of summer mode for a long time, because like it just felt like I was on summer break. But now it's been like almost 6 months, so definitely not summer break mode anymore. And I'm just kind of adjusting still to like the fact that I'm never going back to school. But I'm happy, I think. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think that's another thing that you and I have discussed, like, because, you know, I work for Changing Tides, but I still am pursuing film.
Right.
And then you work in graphic design and the arts. So I think it's kind of tough to find the balance between art for yourself and art for a client, or art for work.
Yeah.
Do you think you're still able to enjoy graphic design as an art form?
No, that's really sad, but it's the truth. But I think even before I graduated, I kind of came to terms with that.
Huh.
And it was kind of like, I am okay with that just being my day job. And I'm just lucky that it's creative and it kind of exercises that side of my brain. But I'm like cool with that being just a job, kind of.
I feel like you still could appreciate it though.
I mean, no, I do definitely appreciate it still, but like I think a lot of people grapple with that, where they feel like they personally have a lot of stake in, which is true, you do have a lot of stake, but like it's hard to like differentiate between, you know, work for a client and your personal art. But yeah, I think I've in a place where like I can appreciate graphic design, but for me personally, I definitely, there hasn't been a time in a very long time where I've just designed for myself, kind of. And I think, I mean, it's not to say I like don't use my own style ever. Right. Like there's a lot of times that I do get to use my own style, but it feels fulfilling, and that's fulfilling enough. I think a lot of people, if they search for like to design things for themselves on their own, but I don't really feel like a like incessant need to like have this or consistent need to like have like passion projects for myself, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to like success in the arts, because you know, I think obviously you want to make a living, but when it comes to success, would you say like you're able to measure it in any way? Like, would you measure it by like how much you enjoy what you created, or how big the paycheck is?
I think success for me right now is if the project aligns with something that I enjoy. So for example, with Uprisers, it feels like a win for me, because that's a brand I really love, and I love the projects they do, and I love the people they work with. So that feels like a win. And I honestly won't take a freelance project if I don't feel like if it's not something that I think is really cool, you know? Honestly, like I align success with, yeah, like the project has to be like something I would have like, if I saw someone else do it, I'd be like, that's super cool. And that's like a cool client. Mm-hmm. And so it just has to align that way for me. Yeah.
So I know that's something that, you know, this also, I think it happened to a lot of people during COVID especially, was AAPI folks had to grapple with identity and their place within the AAPI community. How has your concept of being a member of the AAPI community changed through very AAPI forward groups like Changing Tides, and now your work with Uprisers?
It honestly like fits perfectly for me. I think so. My like main friend group, especially prior to the pandemic, were all Asian. So like, I've been very immersed in like the culture, but being able to like work with organizations that are AAPI centered is really, really validating, and it feels grounding, kind of. I've never really thought about that, but it just feels like something I'm kind of I've always gravitated towards, I think. But I will say one thing is that I wish I was more invested in the Filipino American community. Even though, like, I think because I am Filipino and I grew up, like all of my friends are from Carson. I went to like the Independence Days at Veterans Park all the time, so I've been immersed in that community. But like as by myself and like going out into like Filipino town and like in LA, like that's something that I haven't really like tapped into yet, but that's something I do want to explore. But I'm happy that I am still like immersed in the overall AAPI community.
Mm-hmm. Because I remember one thing that you've mentioned before was like during like when the Asian hate crimes really spiked, mm-hmm. like identity as AAPI, being Filipino American, mm-hmm. like of course to someone else you have Asian features,
right?
But like you had mentioned that you felt like a little bit distant from the AAPI community as a whole.
Yeah, I think if you are Filipino or like Cambodian any like Southeast Asian from Southeast Asian descent, I feel like this is something that you could relate to. But yeah, it just feels like for me, like I have rounder eyes, I have a nose bridge, and like so even like on the outside it's felt like a disconnect, even with like the Filipino community. Like it feels like I don't look super, super like clearly Filipino, and I'm very proud of my heritage. So it's like almost like I want to look more Filipino, and I want my nose to be flatter, which is crazy because people never want that. But like for me, like that's something that like I want to be identified as my culture because I'm proud of it. But I think in terms of like where I was at that time, I think I'm in a better place now in terms of because I'm so like invested in my community now, I feel better about it. And I feel like, I think also a big part of like how I felt previously was because during the pandemic, it was very isolating. Mm. And like, it felt like it was like me against the world, even though I'm sure everyone felt that way. Mm-hmm. But now that like I have a community that's I'm face to face with, I feel much more like at home, I think. Mm. Yeah.
I have the quick fire questions,
yes.
But is there anything else I didn't touch on in your journey or that you didn't get to say?
No, I'm actually glad that you brought up that last part. I totally forgot that I said that before, even though I did really feel that way. Mm-hmm. And the part about me not feeling Filipino enough is something I still kind of like struggle with a little bit, but I'm glad that you brought that up because I totally forgot about that. And I think it's like, I feel like I haven't really necessarily like thought about my identity as someone who is part of the AAPI community recently, just because it's like every day, right. Like that's like my life now. And I think it was much easier to like kind of like be introspective about it during the pandemic. But yeah, I think that's something like I should probably like think about again, because not in a bad way, right. Just more of like a be more conscious of it.
Yeah.
Because I think identity is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also think it's nice where we're both at in terms of who we work with and who we like, because of Changing Tides and Uprisers, they also work closely together. But the communities that we're involved in now, we're so much more connected with the AAPI community.
Yeah.
But like growing up, like we both grew up in a primarily white area.
Yeah.
So it's like the sense of identity, like I personally never was really ashamed of being AAPI.
Yeah, neither was I.
But like,
I don't think so.
Right. Like maybe every now and then, mm-hmm. just because you felt other,
right.
sometimes.
Totally.
But I think now, like, it's just so ingrained in what I do on a day to day where I have a lot more comfort and a lot more to be proud of, I think, because I'm just so much more aware.
Yeah, and that's such a privilege that we have such a strong community. Yeah, and it's interesting too that both of us growing up, our extracurriculars is where we kind of like tapped into our our cultural side, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. That's really awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, silly questions?
Yes, I'm very ready.
Okay. If you could invite three people to dinner, dead or alive, who would they be?
I like purposely tried to forget these questions because I didn't want to think about them too much.
But this one's a tough one.
I know. Yeah. I wish I thought about this one prior. Dead or alive. I'm trying to like, should I say a silly one or a real one?
Maybe a little bit of both.
Okay. Dead or alive. Who are people I like? I can't remember now.
See?
Oh my gosh. Okay, Greta Gerwig, probably. I just like want to hear her ramble. Okay. Greta Gerwig. And who are people I like?
There's so many.
I know. I'm struggling.
You're such a fan of so many people.
You know. Tyler, the Creator.
Okay.
Because I think he would just be such an interesting dinner guest.
Uh-huh.
It has to be a famous person?
No.
Oh, my grandma.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be anyone.
She would have, she'd be so confused, but I would love to have another chance to have a dinner with her. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the difference between a typeface and a font?
Okay. Oh, I might butcher this. So a typeface is technically, wait, okay. Usually there are fonts within a typeface. The typeface would be like, how Times New Roman has Times New Roman regular and Times New Roman bold, Times New Roman italic. Each of those are fonts, but that whole thing is a typeface. Times New Roman as a whole is a typeface. Times New Roman bold is a font. Times New Roman italic is a font. Times New Roman Roman is a font.
Okay.
Yeah. There All we right. go. No, that's it. That's it. Actually, okay. That actually is it. It just like it's the same thing as like is a square.
It's okay.
A square is a rectangle, but a rectangle isn't a square, kind of vibes. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
What is your favorite ride at Disneyland?
My favorite ride at Disneyland currently is, I don't know, we have to go.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. My favorite ride is probably Guardians.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you had to and you were offered the chance to, what would the title of your autobiography be?
I think I wrote this down in my notes at some point, but I don't remember what I wrote. I won't look. Probably Balasong, because that's what my grandparents on my dad's side have always called me. Or like all the old people on my dad's side have always called me. And I think it's a really beautiful word. And yeah, and I just like hold it very close to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for finally doing the podcast.
Thanks for finally having.
Thanks for being so supportive of everything.
I don't think you ever told them why I waited.
Do you want to say?
Yeah. So I was, if you have been watching, Matthew has been interviewing everybody on the CT crew. And I told him that I didn't want to be on the podcast until I went through CT stream. Or at least until I found a therapist, I think, what was the condition. And I'm glad I did because there was just so much more to talk about. And I'm glad I ended up going through CT stream and we got to talk about it because people need to know how awesome of a resource it is.
Well, thanks for that.
Yeah. Anytime.
Thanks. Okay. Thank you again to Lauren for being on the podcast to discuss graphic design, to discuss her mental health journey, and discussing being part of the AAPI community. And yeah, Lauren has been such a helpful addition to the crew. I mean, like, as I said in the interview, it wasn't just me who was pushing for her to join the CT crew. It was like everyone because of how helpful she is with the graphic design stuff, but also just she is very creative. So whenever it comes to brainstorming for next event or whatever it might be, the direction of changing tides, it's always great to have her voice involved. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. So if you enjoyed this episode, You can subscribe to our show for episodes that release every other Tuesday and give us a rating or review on your favorite podcast platform. If you would like to support our podcast and help us grow, you can do so with a donation to the link at the bottom of the episode description. To hear more about Changing Tides, follow us on Instagram at LTSC_changingtides or check out our website, thechangingtides.org. Let's continue to change the tide on mental health.